was Pilar.
Pilar, named after his boat,
his boat, Pilar, dark rum. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a sweet rum. Well, it wasn't kind, it was sweet. And it was one of these things, here, you better have some rum. Oh, well, you know, I want to be polite. Well, it was actually quite tasty. So, you know, but it was, actually, I think, Rex, we had some before we actually went out to the hunt. So I think we had
to do that. Surely not. We had a gun.
Well, that's true. Maybe I'm probably not remembering that correctly. But I know there was, the bottles were all empty.
Yes,
probably six of them. There were a lot of people there. But cigars and then the, I guess it was the Friends Group or the Advisory Council.
The Advisory Board for the Hemingway Pfeiffer Museum joined us, and we had a grilled quail luncheon. And I've got to get to this restaurant now. It's a place that is in downtown Paragould, and it's called Chow. Now, unlike Chow and Chow Bocce in Little Rock, which are C-I-A-O, we're talking Northeast Arkansas.
Chow.
So C-H-O-W.
Right.
It's not the
Chow.
Italian Chow.
Yeah.
It's Southern Chow. but it's a fine dining
establishment. This was first class.
It's Chow at 118 in downtown Paragould, and they were out there, and they catered it, and it was outstanding.
Grilled a quail and risotto and a kind of a sweet potato thing, and a cherry tart that was just fantastic. I mean, it was really first class. I sat with the guy that, I guess, won the auction from Savannah, and I was also sitting next to the guy that was taking them to the duck hunt, and so there was some concern about whether they were going to have ducks. But the guy from Savannah, I think his name was Bob, he said, "I don't care. This has made my trip right here."
So just the meal.
Just
yeah.
that experience made the trip.
Yeah.
Now, he was a good shot, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a great shot. He hunted all over the world. Yeah. He was showing us photos from Argentina and elsewhere. And
I'm sure he was my age or close.
Yeah.
And he just got back from his honeymoon in Tahiti, literally Thursday, and left Friday.
Honey, I'm going to Arkansas to hunt with Hemingway.
To hunt with Hemingway, yeah. But I guess he had his son and brother, and they had their pilot. And,
yeah.
It was just a lot of fun.
They, that group went on down and stayed in a duck club down in far southeast Arkansas outside of Dumas, and ended up hunting in that same area for two mornings. And I'm told they had very good luck. And these were wild ducks, of course.
Right.
And this was a great Arkansas duck hunt. And I've seen some photos, and that part apparently went very well. But Jenny shared with me a copy of a letter that her grandfather, Max Perkins, had written after that 1932 hunt. In fact, it was dated Christmas Day, December 25th, 1932, which I quote in this magazine story. But he had described it at length, and obviously a city boy, because he referred to Hemingway as him, H-E-M, in the letter.
Him.
And said, "We would get up in the middle of the night," and I thought that was just terribly uncivilized, but him said, "That's what you've got to do to get the ducks." And it was icy when they went in 32.
Yeah.
He said there were chunks of ice floating in the White River, and the land was all covered with ice.
It turns out they had ducks for this hunt, didn't
they? Yes, they did.
Had a good hunt, evidently.
But fascinating to read that letter, and fascinating that they were able to recreate that. And Kevin said that John Hemingway says he wants to come back in the future, and so
that'd be great.
I think it will happen.
You know, I was thinking when I was up there, I had when I was in the Navy, I had a choice of, once we got out of B school, choice of duty stations.
Mm-hmm.
There were two places that did what I did, what I was trained to do. One was in Guam, and one was in Spain. So I chose Spain, as you might imagine.
You see Guam pretty quickly, I would think.
Okay. I think,
the day's over. We've seen everything there's to see in Guam. Yeah. Now what do we do?
I'll take Spain.
Yeah.
And I'd always been a real Hemingway freak, and so that was just more than I could stand. But so I was there in the 70s, and Franco was still alive.
Right.
In fact, died while I was there. And
reminded
so Frank,
of the old Saturday Night Live skit, Francisco Franco is
still dead. Yes,
go ahead.
Exactly.
That's for you old timers.
But you know, Hemingway, who obviously was for the Republic, was still beloved there, and still had, even in Andalusia, southern Spain, where I was, which was serious Franco country, they loved Hemingway. He was still beloved and allowed to be worshipped even in Spain during Franco's time. I thought it was remarkable that, and I guess it's because his books captured so much of the flavor of Spain.
Did you go to any bullfights when you were in Spain?
Oh yeah, I went to. I went to Sevilla, which is you Americans call it Seville, but Sevilla is maybe the oldest bullring now. Oldest of the big ones, real traditional.
I was going to say, if you were a Hemingway fan, you had to go bullfights.
Yeah. And you know, it's not. We're not supposed to like bullfighting, and I get that. But there's something about the pageantry, and when you get there,
that it is a bloody deal at the end.
It's a bloody deal for the bull. But you know, what are you going to do? Shock them or stab them? But to watch these guys do it is—I don't know—I loved it, frankly.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to get it, and. When you go as a tourist, you're going to be sitting in the sun seats, and it'll just be blistering hot. But if you go there long enough and get to know the right people and get the right tickets, you'll get the shade seats, and that's a lot better way to watch the bullfight. But I never did Pamplona, the running of the bulls, but there was a town near us called Arcos de la Frontera, and they had their running of the bulls. And we would go to that, and it was just a big drunken party from 3 or 4 days. It was fantastic, as I remember it. But, and then, of course, Rex, those bulls and the ones at the bullfight are given to the poor and to help feed the, as one old Navy guy, the sick, lame, and lazy. You know?
Well, as I've told you before, I only spent the 2 weeks there when I accompanied the Ouachita concert band.
Is that when you were the presidential envoy?
Yeah, the presidential envoy. That's when I was working for Delta Regional Authority. And they said, if you go, you can get us into more stuff. But we were largely in rural South Spain and Extremadura, which is kind of the Arkansas of Spain. Very rural, very poor area. I mean, the main things there are actually olive and cork trees, which
cork
I found interesting. Yeah,
no kidding.
So a lot of cork there, a lot of olives there. But I found it fascinating, and I wanted to go to a bullfight, but it didn't work out. Yeah. So I've never been.
You know, I think Catalonia's outlawed bullfighting. Maybe it's starting to end up that way. But you know, people think it's not true, but I think it's still true. When I was there, bullfighting was covered in the art section of the newspaper. It wasn't sports. Mm-hmm. It was art.
Art.
And now, in Portugal, they fight them completely on horses. Mm-hmm. They never get off. But, Spaniards, I think we all recognize Spaniards are braver than Portuguese.
Portuguese would argue with that.
Well, what do they know? Vasco da Gama was their last big hit. I don't know.
Their port's pretty good, though.
It is, too. That's true. Well, I remember...
We were in Portugal on that trip, too. I found the seafood awfully good, I must tell you.
Rex, we lived right on the Bay of Cadiz, or as you Americans call it, Cadiz. A little town called Rota. And every morning, a little guy would come by just about daylight with a little motor scooter, and he'd have his saddlebags full of fresh fish, whatever the catch of the day was. He'd come by and... Like at 5 in the morning, pescado, and the ladies would come out and buy fresh fish. And our landlady, Maria, would buy these little sardines and fry them up. Oh, my gosh. Just the food in Spain was fantastic.
You know, I have just always loving alliteration. I'm just sitting here. I think I've come up with the title of my memoirs.
Oh?
From Portugal to Piggott, A Look Back. How's that?
I like that. I think we can pull that off.
You crack people's eyes on the stand, don't you?
I would buy it.
From Portugal to Piggott. Yeah,
can I be the blurbist?
Yo, absolutely. You are a professional blurbist now.
You know, Rex, we flew to Porto, Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
There was some kind of weird American engine rebuilding place or something. I have no idea why it was there. But anyway, we flew a plane there to work on the engine. And I think we spent 2 days, and we weren't doing anything, so we were going to go out in the town. And they said, do not wear your uniform or anything, because this is probably 74 or 5. Americans are not well-liked here, and there were communist signs all over the sickles and hammers and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I was a boy from Imbo, and I thought, why wouldn't they like us? We're Americans, for crying out loud. But we flew out and managed to escape without being captured by heathen communists.
Well, we went to, speaking of poor, we went to Portimao, which is quite a resort. A lot of people from England, from France, from Germany all come there. In fact, the first couple of restaurants I went in there, I thought, man, they've got a huge selection at this restaurant. This menu's big. Well, the menu was in five different languages, is why. You had a couple of pages in Portuguese, a couple pages in Spanish, a couple pages in French, a couple of pages in English, because they were used to serving tourists. But that was a fun place. And, again, we're required to be honest on this show.
Yes.
So I'm required here to also say, giving a true review, you know, I had never – been exposed, if you will, to use the word, to a topless beach. But I found out, at least in Portimao, the only people going topless were the ones that you would prefer that they hadn't
not
gone
topless.
That's
exactly.
That was my experience there, at least.
They didn't have topless beaches in Spain.
Yeah.
That was not under Franco.
Yeah.
They're not going to have that at all.
They did have a you know, kind of a, not fancy like Monte Carlo, but they did have one casino, you know, in an old building, which was kind of neat, right in the middle of town.
Yeah.
Apparently all the British tourists liked to go there. So they had this floor show. And I decided, all right, the students were off doing something else. I thought, all right, I'm going to buy tickets to this show that came with dinner and just see with all these British tourists. And it was that weird British humor. And it was like a musical review from the 1960s, and Pimm's Cups is what everybody was drinking as their drink. And I hate to stereotype about the British, but I had the best teeth in the entire room as I looked, as I looked around. But it was really strange. Here I sit in Portugal with a bunch of Brits watching this weird British floor show. It is a small world.
People say it's a small country. It's a small world.
Yes.
I was in... We pulled Liberty in Naples one time, and I was on the USS Saratoga, and I've told you this, on that boat there were 10 boys from Lawrence County, Arkansas, on that boat, which was pretty remarkable. But we pull into Naples, which then is about the only place they would let American, the fleet, come in. So Liberty launch, and sailors, and everybody's just anxious to get out there and start drinking, frankly. I was more concerned with Bible study. I was looking for a Bible study group. But
I'm sure.
Yeah. And so we're walking, and one of the guys on was the guy I joined the Navy with, Malcolm Hawkins. And he and I hadn't seen each other. And so we're walking, trying to get into town, and I happened to be right on the edge of the dock. And that's where all the smaller boats were just pulled in there. And I hear somebody holler, "Paul," and I turn around, and it was the other guy that we went in the Navy with, Gene Thatcher, who was colorblind and couldn't go into aviation. So he got stuck on a wooden-hulled minesweep. I didn't even know where he was. Just talk about serendipity that we end up, without knowing it, running into each other in Naples, France. So we just drank and cried all night.
Oh, wow.
It was a great time in Naples. Unlike in Athens, where they didn't like Americans at all, and mainly because of Jackie Onassis. They resented her.
Interesting. Marrying Aristotle?
Yeah. I won't tell you what they called her, but it's a family show, but it was not nice. But I remember we would stay in Athens, and we didn't stay on base. We stayed in a hotel on the beach, frankly. But they would have these giant beans. They looked like lima beans that were the size of a half dollar or something. And you could get a huge platter of these lima beans, and you'd go into the restaurant, unlike you do at Murray's. You would go into this place and pick your fish. "I'll have that one." And they bash it in the head and take it back and prepare it for you. Which, you know, maybe Stanley needs to do that.
Yes.
Have
yes.
live catfish.
Over
kids
at Murray's
can pick
and
one.
Watch them bashed in the head.
You've been listening to Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cals. That's Rex Nelson, head of corporate communications for Simmons Bank and writer of the food blog Southern Fried. And Paul Austin, executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council. To hear this and other great Chewing the Fat episodes in their entirety, subscribe to the Chewing the Fat podcast at cals.org/podcasts.
February is Library Lovers Month. Show yourself and your local Cal's branch some love. With a variety of activities happening all month, there's a book, movie, club, exhibition, or learning experience waiting for you. It's all here. Visit cals.org to view the new programming guide. Hundreds of events and resources at your fingertips. Want to know what's happening in the world of Cal's? The new programming guide will help you navigate the variety of youth and adult programs, book clubs, movies, and more across CALS's 14 branches, the Ron Robinson Theater, the Butler Center, and River Market Books and Gifts. Look for the programming guide in a branch near you or visit cals.org. Radio CALS is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, visit cals.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Voices by Jasmine Jobe and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Brett Ratliff, Michael Stotz, and Anna Lancaster. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 Little Rock.
Story, but he had described it at length, and obviously a city boy, because he referred to Hemingway as him, H-E-M, in the letter.
Him.
And said we would get up in the middle of the night, and I, you know, basically I thought that was just terribly uncivilized, but him said that's what you've got to do to get the ducks. And it was icy when they went in 32.
Yeah.
He said there were chunks of ice floating in the White River, and the land was all covered with ice.
It turns out they had ducks for this hunt, didn't
they? Yes, they did.
Had a good hunt, evidently.
But fascinating to read that letter, and fascinating that they were able to recreate that. And Kevin said that John Hemingway says he wants to come back in the future. And so
that'd be great.
I think it will happen.
You know, I was thinking when I was up there, I had, when I was in the Navy, I had a choice of, once we got out of B school, choice of duty stations.
Mm-hmm.
There were two places that did what I did, what I was trained to do. One was in Guam. And one was in Spain. So I chose Spain, as you might imagine.
You see Guam pretty quickly,
I think. I think,
the day's over. We've seen everything there's to see in Guam. Yeah. Now what do we do?
I'll take Spain. Yeah. And I'd always been a real Hemingway freak, and so that was just more than I could stand. But then, so I was there in the 70s, and Franco was still alive.
Right.
In fact, died while I was there. And
reminded
so Frank,
of the old Saturday Night Live skit, Francisco Franco is
still dead. Yes,
go ahead.
Exactly.
That's for you old timers.
But you know, Hemingway, who obviously was for the Republic, was still beloved there, and still had, even in Andalusia, southern Spain, where I was, which was serious Franco country, they loved Hemingway. He was still beloved and allowed to be worshipped even in Spain during Franco's time. I thought it was remarkable that, and I guess it's because his books captured so much of the flavor of Spain.
Did you go to any bullfights when you were in Spain?
Oh yeah, I went to.
I
went to Sevilla, which is you Americans call it Seville, but Sevilla is maybe the oldest bull ring now, oldest of the big ones, real traditional.
I was going to say, if you were a Hemingway fan, you had to go
bullfights. Yeah. And you know, it's not. We're not supposed to like bullfighting, and I get that. But there's something about the pageantry, and when you get there,
that it is a bloody deal at the end.
It's a bloody deal for the bull. But, you know, what are you going to do? Shock them or stab them? So, but to watch these guys do it is, I don't know. I loved it, frankly.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to get it. And when you go as a tourist, you're going to be sitting in the sun seats, and it'll just be blistering hot. But if you go there long enough and get to know the right people and get the right tickets, you'll get the shade seats, and that's a lot better way to watch the bullfight. But I never did Pamplona, the running of the bulls, but there was a town near us called Arcos de la Frontera, and they had their running of the bulls. And we would go to that, and it was just a big drunken party from 3 or 4 days. It was fantastic, as I remember it. But, and then, of course, Rex, those bulls and the ones at the bullfight are given to the poor and to help feed, as one old Navy guy, the sick, lame, and lazy. You know?
Well, as I've told you before, I only spent the 2 weeks there when I accompanied the Ouachita Concert Band.
Is that when you were the presidential envoy?
Yeah, the presidential envoy. That's when I was working for Delta Regional Authority. And they said, if you go, you can get us into more stuff. But We were largely in rural South Spain and Extremadura, which is kind of the Arkansas of Spain, very rural, very poor area. I mean, the main things there are actually olive and cork trees, which
cork
I found
trees.
Interesting. Yeah,
no kidding.
So a lot of cork there, a lot of olives there. But I found it fascinating, and I wanted to go to a bullfight, but it didn't work out. Yeah. So I've never been.
You know, I think Catalonia's outlawed bullfighting. Maybe it's starting to end up that way. But you know, people think it's not true, but I think it's still true. When I was there, bullfighting was covered in the art section of the newspaper. It wasn't sports; it was art.
Art.
And now, in Portugal, they fight them completely on horses. Mm-hmm. They never get off. But Spaniards, I think we all recognize Spaniards are braver than Portuguese.
Portuguese would argue with that.
Well, what do they know? Vasco da Gama was their last big hit. I don't know.
Their port's pretty good, though.
It is. That's true. Well, I remember.
We were in Portugal on that trip, too. I found the seafood awfully good, I must tell you.
Rex, we lived right on the Bay of Cadiz, or as you Americans call it, Cadiz. A little town called Rota. And every morning, a little guy would come by just about daylight with a little motor scooter, and he'd have his saddlebags full of fresh fish, whatever the catch of the day was. He'd come by, and, like at 5 in the morning, pescado, and the ladies would come out and buy fresh fish. And our landlady, Maria, would buy these little sardines and fry them up. Oh, my gosh. Just the food in Spain is fantastic.
You know, I have just always loving alliteration. I've just sitting here, I think I've come up with the title of my memoirs.
Oh.
From Portugal to Piggott, A Look Back. How's that?
I like that. I think we can pull
you
that off.
You attract people's eyes on the stand, don't you?
I would buy it.
From Portugal to Piggott. Yeah,
can I be the blurbist?
Yo, absolutely. You are a professional blurbist now.
You know, Rex, we flew to Porto, Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
There was some kind of weird American engine rebuilding place or something. I have no idea why it was there. But anyway, we flew a plane there to work on the engine. And I think we spent 2 days. And we weren't doing anything, so we were going to go out in the town. And they said, do not wear your uniform or anything, because this is probably 74 or 5. Americans are not well liked here. And there were communist signs all over the sickles and hammers and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I was a boy from Imbo, and I thought, why wouldn't they like us? We're Americans, for crying out loud. But we flew out and managed to escape without being captured by heathen communists.
Well, we went to, we went to Portimao, which is quite a resort. A lot of people from England, from France, from Germany all come there. In fact, the first couple of restaurants I went in there, I thought, man, they've got a huge selection at this restaurant. This menu's big. Well, the menu was in 5 different languages, is why.
You
had a couple of pages in Portuguese, a couple pages in Spanish, a couple pages in French, a couple of pages in English, because they were used to serving tourists. But that was a fun place. And, again, we're required to be honest on this show.
Yes.
So I'm required here to also say, giving a true review, you know, I had never been exposed, if you will, to use the word, to a topless beach. But I found out, at least in Portimao, the only people going topless were the ones that you would prefer that they hadn't
not
gone topless.
That's exactly. Yes.
That was my experience there, at least.
They didn't have topless beaches in Spain.
Yeah.
That was not under Franco.
Yeah.
We're not going to have that at all.
They did have a not fancy like Monte Carlo, but they did have one casino, you know, in an old building, which was kind of neat, right in the middle of town.
Yeah.
Apparently all the British tourists liked to go there. So they had this floor show, and I decided, all right, the students were off doing something else. And I thought, all right, I'm going to buy tickets to this show that came with dinner and just see with all these British tourists. And it was that weird British humor. And it was like a musical review from the 1960s, and Pimm's cups is what everybody was drinking as their drink. And I hate to stereotype about the British, but I had the best teeth in the entire room as I looked around. But it was really strange. Here I sit in Portugal with a bunch of Brits watching this weird British floor show. It is a small world.
People say it's a small country. It's a small world.
Yes.
We pulled Liberty in Naples one time, and I was on the USS Saratoga, And I've told you this, on that boat where there were 10 boys from Lawrence County, Arkansas,
yes,
on that boat, which was pretty remarkable. But we pull into Naples, which then is about the only place they would let American, the fleet, come in. So Liberty Launch and sailors and everybody's just anxious to get out there and start drinking, frankly. I was more concerned with Bible study. I was looking for a Bible study group. But
I'm sure.
Yeah. And so we're walking, and one of the guys on was the guy I joined the Navy with, Malcolm Hawkins. And he and I hadn't seen each other. And so we're walking, trying to get into town, and I happened to be right on the edge of the dock. And that's where all the smaller boats were just pulled in there. And I hear somebody holler, "Paul," and I turned around, and it was the other guy that we went in the Navy with, Gene Thatcher, who was colorblind and couldn't go into aviation, so he got stuck on a wooden-hulled minesweep. I didn't even know where he was. Just talk about serendipity that we end up, without knowing it, running into each other in Naples, France. So we just drank and cried all night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a great time in Naples. Unlike in Athens, where they didn't like Americans at all, and mainly because of Jackie Onassis. They resented her.
Interesting. Marrying Aristotle?
Yeah. I won't tell you what they called her, but it's a family show, but it was not nice. But I remember we would stay in Athens, and we didn't stay on base. We stayed in a hotel on the beach, frankly. But they would have these giant beans. They looked like lima beans that were the size of a half dollar or something. And you could get a huge platter of these lima beans, and you'd go into the restaurant. Unlike you do at Murray's, you would go into this place and pick your fish. "I'll have that one." And they bash it in the head and take it back and prepare it for you. Which, you know, maybe Stanley needs to do that.
Yes.
Have
yes.
live catfish.
Over
kids
at Murray's
can pick
and watch them bashed in the head.
You've been listening to Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cals. That's Rex Nelson, head of corporate communications for Simmons Bank and writer of the food blog Southern Fried. And Paul Austin, executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council. To hear this and other great Chewing the Fat episodes in their entirety, subscribe to the Chewing the Fat podcast at cals.org/podcasts.
February is Library Lovers Month. Show yourself and your local Cal's branch some love. With a variety of activities happening all month, there is a book, movie, club, exhibition, or learning experience waiting for you. It's all here. Visit cals.org to view the new programming guide. Hundreds of events and resources at your fingertips. Want to know what's happening in the world of Cal's? The new programming guide will help you navigate the variety of youth and adult programs, book clubs, movies, and more across Cal's 14 branches, the Ron Robinson Theater, the Butler Center, and River Market Books and Gifts. Look for the programming guide in a branch near you or visit cals.org. Radio Cals is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, visit cals.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Voices by Jasmine Jobe and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Brett Ratliff, Michael Stotz, and Anna Lancaster. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 Little Rock.